Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our current events update, and then our study in Micah chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, titled, "The Lord Shall Reign Over Them." The conclusion of this two-part message can be found at bbfohio.com. As we now begin, this is part 1 of 2.
The current events update. Number 1, Israel at war. And that is, as of today's date, 3/6/24. It's day 152. Still 134 hostages unaccounted for if they're alive. More and more reports are coming out saying they're probably not. And that's a very sad thing. And the UN is an anti-Christ, anti-Israel terror organization. That's not an opinion. They were involved in the October 7th attacks. Not everybody in the UN was involved, but their agencies, including UNRWA and others. And so this is the UN, Israeli convoy, or envoy, Israeli envoy to the UN discussing that.
Well, let's first say very clearly, Benita, it took 150 days for the UN to say anything in a reality in which we know we believe you, unless you're a Jew, of course.
Right.
So we understand that the atrocities that were perpetrated of sexual crimes were a huge part, war crimes, crimes against humanity, listed as such with intentionality in a systematic manner. We understood that from what the barbaric savages that perpetrated those atrocities live streamed themselves. But the special advisor to the Secretary General failed to mention is that they were not able to meet with the majority of the victims because they were murdered in the aftermath or while they were being raped. And so we have to be very, very clear on this double standard that was in many ways just highlighted by this case of sexual crimes used in the 10/7 massacre with intentionality and with the intent to commit those war crimes and those crimes against humanity by a genocidal terror organization that received orders to do precisely what they did on that day.
It's just, I have to hope that most of these Americans, so-called, who are out protesting Israel are totally ignorant of the reality of October 7th. Because anybody who knows what happened on October 7th to these poor kids, these men and women, brutally raped and abused and killed. And it has become a thing where you're not supposed to just tell the truth. You're not supposed to speak honestly. They are just doing what their religious founder did. That's exactly what Muhammad did. When you ask, what would Jesus do? Never did that, did he? What would Muhammad do? Exactly what Hamas did on October 7th. Not all Muslims would do that. Not all Muslims are that evil, but their religion is. And if any Muslim who follows the example of the founder of their religion is that evil. That's the brutal truth. Innocent, unarmed, helpless girls brutally gang raped by Islamist Hamas. That's the reality that the UN took 150 days to speak against, and their so-called condemnation wasn't there. It was a report, but they barely made any condemnation of any of that. 150 days after mass murder and mass gang rape, the UN releases what's called a report. They should just have 125 days ago at least, and had just condemned it. But that's telling you who the UN is. Listen to some more of this.
Why has the silence been deafening up until now? As you say, it's 150 days until you hear these so-called findings. As you say, most of the people who were gang raped are dead. the survivors. It's going to take time to get their testimonies, as we just heard. Why has it taken so long? Why did international organizations, women's organizations, take so long to even condemn what happened?
So it is a symptom of the systemic failure. The entire system. The UN Secretary General explained after 10/7, not only without an unequivocal condemnation, but explained that 10/7 did not happen in a vacuum. The understanding that the United Nations, a part of the mechanism that was created in the post-World War II rules-based order to ensure that never again, has become part and parcel of enabling again and again. And we're only talking about one manifestation of that. Of course, we can mention UNRWA, of whom hundreds of workers are also doubling as Hamas terrorists that perpetrated those atrocities, that raped, that burned alive, that massacred, that abducted, and that held those hostages in their homes, doctors, teachers, social workers, under pay of the UN. So this is just one manifestation of systemic failure of the international institutions and the principles and the mechanisms created. And I want to say that is not just a problem for the nation state of the Jewish people that was attacked on 10/7, or for Jews around the world that are attacked in the wake of those atrocities all over the place. Montreal, Toronto, New York, Berlin, there is not a city that has not seen demonstrations, pro-Hamas demonstrations that are attacking Jews around the world. That is a problem for all who cherish the foundational principles of life and of liberty that those institutions were entrusted to uphold, promote, and protect.
You just do your research. We've shown it in previous current events. The UN workers have been involved in the persecution of Christians, and that includes just terrible persecutions in places in Africa. And joining and assisting Muslim persecution of Christians in places like Nigeria. And they have been exposed as being involved in the child sex slavery and trafficking. The UN, it's been exposed, it's a fact. And this is all setting the stage for the coming Antichrist system. And in the meantime, we will stand with Israel. And we are going to be condemned by not only the Jew-hating Muslims and people like that, you're going to be condemned by devil-possessed professing Christians. And there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who will condemn you right now for standing with Israel. So you better watch it. Some of those people you think are Christians, you better watch it. Anybody can call themselves a Christian. And we have more to say about that other times. But secondly, just a couple of headlines in the headline roundup. The Christian Post reported this, that Biden can't force Christian doctors to perform trans surgeries.
Good.
This wicked reprobate Joe Biden and his administration have tried to force Christian doctors to kill babies, and now they're trying to force Christian doctors to mutilate children. And thankfully, we still have enough judges, and I want to say it flat out, don't thank the Bushes. Amen. Or the Democrats. Amen. Don't thank progressive Republicans. There's only one man who put sound conservative judges in the federal courts. His name is Donald Trump. That is a statement of fact. Anybody doesn't like it can lump it. I'm going to tell the truth about this stinking uniparty agenda from the Democrats and Republicans. They're a bunch of antichrists. And I don't care what party you call yourself, I want to know what you stand for. And if you're a globalist, you're useless. You're a traitor. And we've talked about that. Global trade is one thing. We believe in trade, all that. Globalism is antichrist. And so the small print there said, a federal court has ruled that Christian healthcare workers cannot be forced to perform elective body disfiguring surgeries for individuals who identify as trans, despite a mandate from the satanic Biden administration. Amen. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to look into it. You need to educate yourself. I tell you as much as I can in the short amount of time we have for current events, but look at what they do to these children when they give them the surgeries. Look at the effects of the hormone therapy on these children. Children who can't get a tattoo. Children who can't take an aspirin at school without parental permission. Children who can't go into a rated R movie. And yet they can then, behind their parents' backs, go get on hormone therapy and then be ready so that as soon as they turn 18, they can be mutilated. It's just an amazing satanic thing. And secondly, this is just a headline from Breitbart. Shock. 30% of migrants entering Mexico have STDs. Why does that matter? Because a huge number of them are being brought in for sex slavery and the prostitution. And so they're going to spread those. And you may say, well, they get what they deserve. You know, there is punishment for your sin. That's true. But we should not knowingly be bringing that into our country. Amen. And it's not going to just hurt them. It's destroying our healthcare system, covering all the STDs and all the diseases as a result of that. It's bankrupting the system so that then you can't get, and your family and your loved ones can't get the healthcare they need. And your premiums, why are your premiums going up? Because of this. So that's all I got for current events. Be informed, pray, and act accordingly. All right, Micah 4, we're going to pick up where we left off last time, and we're moving kind of slow just because I'm having so much fun. I hate to go fast through these passages that are dealing with, well, it's dealing with the future of Israel, but it's also our future.
Yep.
When Jesus is ruling and reigning from a throne in Jerusalem, he's King of Israel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is ruling and reigning, and the Bible says you and I will be ruling and reigning with him. Amen. So while a lot of what we're dealing with is for Israel, it's about our future too. As long as you keep that perspective and you understand as we continue. I also want to say that I found this little clip, and I don't know where it originated. And if anybody wants to sue us, that's a fair use. And we're not making any money off of it, but I just had to show you that. I think that's a picture of the Tribulation Temple from an artistic computer artistic rendering, and he's going to be right there. Just keep that in mind as we study this. He's going to be right in there, and I like the fact that it didn't show Kenny Loggins sitting on the throne. You know what I mean? It says that he's like in glory. He shines. And so I just think that's the best way to put it.
The tribulation temple.
Do
you mean the millennial?
Didn't I say? I meant to say millennial temple. I'm sorry. Yeah, it is the millennial temple. The tribulation temple will be a farce and a blasphemy. But this is during the millennium. And it's just an artistic rendering. But I just thought it was really, as far as my understanding, very accurate. Of what it's going to be like to worship Jesus right there, sitting on a throne. So we continue here in chapter 4 with a contrast between this dispensation and the kingdom age. And we don't have time to rehash dispensations and everything, but if you go online, we've got a number of studies on that. The kingdom age, when the Lord Jesus Christ alone is king, overall, there will be kings of nations. He will be king of kings, but there's only one king of all those kings, and that's Jesus. So let's look at verses 5 and through 7 in Micah chapter 4. Micah 4, 5 through 7. How many of you read the odd verses? So start right there at verse 5. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God. and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that is afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. Amen? All right. Micah continues revealing the kingdom agenda. See our previous two studies to see the context where we're building. And he starts with a message about exclusivity. It's an important word to learn. We'll come back to that in verse 5. Then we see another reference to the final regathering that is necessary for Jesus to be king of Israel. He has to regather Israel. And that's verse 6. And then we'll see the verse 7 referring to the eternal kingdom. Verse 7 ends our study. So let's start with that exclusivity. Not an easy word to say, but it's an important one. As he says, something that is twisted and turned by people to make it say something it doesn't say. It begins by saying, for all people will walk everyone in the name of his God. And then it continues with the rest of the verse. And people have taken that and they've started to, or tried to use that to teach that during the millennium, the nations that are there are still going to walk in the name of their God. And a careless reading, I'm sure, you know, that may look like that. But the context, you have to take, that's why you shouldn't ever take a verse and rip it out of context. You got to always look at the context. What are the three main rules of Bible interpretation?
Context.
You've been brainwashed well.
Yes.
That is so important. This condition will continue, but just until Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom. It says, for all people will walk everyone in the name of his God. That is, and then comma, that is now, and that is even through the tribulation period, right up to the return of Christ. At the end of the 70th week of Daniel, that's when all these other gods you hear about today, whether you're talking about Allah, Vishnu, Buddha is not really a god, but he's treated like one because he reached the state and all that. The way they treat Joseph Smith and Muhammad like gods with a small g, the whole New Age movement and all their millions of little gods. The Hindus worship millions of gods, small g. Doesn't matter. Take them all and cast them into the everlasting lake of fire. Amen. When Jesus returns, any references to those gods are gone. It's over with. Now, J. Vernon McGee just had a great comment on that. He said, quote, the thought is that in the past they walked after their own gods, but in the future they're going to walk in the name of Jehovah our God. And if you look in your Bible there, in the next part of the verse, we'll note the contrast. For all people is how verse 5 starts. Then you'll see it refer to we. For all people is a reference to the nations before Jesus returns. The we is referring to those in his kingdom. Right. And that's how you know there's that, you see that subtle difference there. Now, you say, well, you know, people, who are these people? There are a lot, universal Unitarians, Christian Universalists, and pretty much all the apostate liberals, and New Agers and others will quote this verse as a claim that when the Christ comes, however they define it, that everybody's still going to have their own gods and everything will be honky-dory, so why not now? Why don't we all just get along now? That's how they pervert the Bible, or they try to. Christ consciousness for the New Agers. And again, look at the text. There's a change after the comma. And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God. Now, when you see the word Lord in all caps like that, that is a reference to Jehovah. Now, some of the cults try to make a big deal about the fact that Jehovah isn't in our Bible more than a few times because it was considered the sacred name, and it was something that you know, people misused. And also, the King James translator said, you know, that's the Hebrew pronunciation, but it's referring to the Lord. And so they put it in all caps so you would know it was referring to his covenant name, Jehovah, but it's a translation. Your Bible is a translation, not a transliteration. A transliteration is when you take words in the original language, even if it's not the Bible. If you take a document in Spanish, and instead of giving you the English, they just gave you the English spelling of the Spanish word. That would not serve us, you know, to understand the text. And so that's why in your Bible you see that. It's not a word, it's not a letter for letter trans, that's transliteration. It's a word for word translation. So how many of you know people who think they're real spiritual because they walk around saying, Yeshua HaMashiach? That is the transliteration of Jesus the Christ. That, but see, you're not Hebrew. So that's why we see in our Bible Jesus Christ and not Yeshua HaMashiach. If you were Hebrew, have at it. In Greek, it's Yesu Christo. Okay? But I'm not Greek. I want to know what that is in English. And so all these people run around saying, there's people actually will accuse us of not even being true Christians because we don't refer to Yeshua HaMashiach. And I said, well, the apostles themselves wrote it in Greek as Yesu Christo. So evidently they weren't true Christians. See how ridiculous and silly it is? But why do people do it? Always keep this in mind. Most of the people who do that are very spiritually immature. And they think by doing that, they are more spiritual. It's like a shortcut for spiritual gianthood. Just like the Pentecostals, when you're speaking in tongues, they can do that the day they get saved. They can start doing that. And they think they're a spiritual giant. Instead of real spiritual growth, man is always looking for these shortcuts. And Pharisees, that was a shortcut. You didn't have to grow spiritually. You just had to put on the right stuff and do the right things. And all of a sudden you're, he's a, you know, law-keeping Pharisee. And no, the spiritual growth comes whenever you grow God's way. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God has given us this book. This book says that his name is Jesus. Yes, it's Yeshua. Yes, in Greek it's Yesu. But in English it's Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So, had to tackle that in the midst of this discussion. But the we should be in quotes there, refers to those in the millennial kingdom. And that's why you have the contrast there. Another text that tells us that during the millennium, everybody's not going to keep their gods. It's not going to be an ecumenical kingdom. Jesus alone is God and King in the millennium. Isaiah 2:20, in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. We got some moles out there, you know, where we live, tearing up our yard. You got any idols? Bring them out. I'll throw them at the moles. See if I can hit some of them. I had a Catholic friend I had. I was witnessing to him, and he had a St. Christopher medal, and he would kiss it and pray, and he had something in his car hanging off his dash, another little god. It was something else. I can't remember what it was. But then also he had, you know, in his house, not in his, like, bedroom, but in his home where he lived with his parents, they had a Mary thing with a little thing with candles. And so when really serious stuff come up, they could just walk over and talk to that little thing, that little Barbie doll looking thing. And I said, you know, the Bible says that's what God wants you to do with your idols. Right there. Why don't you just throw those idols away and follow the Lord? Well, until Jesus returns, we're just going to have to keep praying for people like that. And if you don't think people are worshiping idols, you need to open your eyes to what's going on. Because it ain't just little statues. They're worshiping their stars in Hollywood. What do you think stars are in the Bible? Angels. What do you think people are worshiping? Angels. The New Age movement's all about angels. Contacting spirit guides and angels. They're all different forms of gods. And that's what this whole society, this whole culture, they want anything except the holy God. They don't have a problem with religion, but they have a problem with one God, this one, because he's holy. He demands repentance. He demands that you stop sinning. You say, well, we can't do that. Exactly. That's why ye must be born again. None of those other religions teach that. You don't need to be born again. You just work and do this and do that, and God will let you in, you know. You see how that works? Look at Zechariah 13 real quick. Just to your right in your Old Testament.